Hi, friends. Before we dive into today's incredible episode, I wanted to share some exciting news. I'm leading a micro memoir workshop on January 15th, and it's free. This class is for anyone who has ever felt intimidated by the page. If you've wanted to get your stories onto the page, but it feels overwhelming to do so, and you really would like a bite-sized approach, I'm here to teach you how to capture your most powerful moments and memories on the page in 1,000 words or less. This class is for all women writers, whether you're advanced and have published in magazines or you're a newbie who's never put pen to page, all women writers are welcome. You'll be in the supportive community of a circle of women writers from all over the world, and I will teach you the tried and true tips and tricks that I've used for over the last two decades to help countless women develop and publish their micro memoirs in major magazines and publications like the New York Times and Huffington Post and The Sun. And you'll leave with the draft of one micro memoir that you can polish and share or even submit for publication. Find out more information on my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com. The link is also in the show notes, but know that if you're not able to join us live on January 15th from 1 to 2:15 Central, you should still register because you'll be sent the replay. So come join us over at Micro Memoirs, Write Your Tiny True Stories. Hope to see you in class. Let's dive into today's conversation.
When you create a dream and you go after it and you look back, because that's really only when you get to see it, because when you're in the middle of it, there's probably not a lot of balance. And when you look back, you go, dang, I did that. And you're so proud.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story. Oh, my friends, I have been waiting to talk to today's guest, Tricia Leach, for years. I have been following her and her family on YouTube ever since the pandemic, and they put out new videos every single Sunday on their YouTube channel called Keep Your Daydream. Really, what happened was that many years ago, Trish and Mark and their three children set out to take a six-month road trip, and it completely changed their lives. It led them to live a life on the road in which they visited all 50 states and other countries and documented all of their adventures. Along the way, Trish has also authored two cookbooks, Taste of the States, her latest, and Small Space Big Taste, her previous one. She's put out a line of spice blends. She and Mark have recently purchased a property to open up a cafe. I mean, this couple and this family have done it all, and it's been so inspiring to watch. So I couldn't wait to sit down with Trish and to learn about what it is that makes it possible for her to name her dreams and make them come to fruition. You're going to be so inspired because she really tells us how to take small incremental steps towards our goals. And this one's going to make you want to tackle that next big adventure, because I was buzzing with inspiration after our chat. Here is my conversation with Trish Leach. Welcome to the show, Trish.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's a really special place to be invited into a community, especially a community of women, but a community of people that want to share and grow and learn. I love that. And so thank you for having me and letting me be part of it.
Yes. This community of women writers and readers who listen to the show all over the world, we love books and we love mm-hmm. writers. But really, I think at the core of it is that we love watching women achieve their dreams. That's what this show is all about.
Right on.
Yes. And you have been a huge inspiration, not only to me, but also to my family. So to give you a little bit of insight into how our worlds crossed, back in 2020, I was a writing professor. My husband, who's a chef, was also an operations manager. And we have a son. And at the time, he was around 7. And we were living in Chicago, where I'm from. And we had this dream that we had on the way, way periphery that we would road trip around the country one day. And because we were at jobs that required presence, we thought, okay, that'll happen when our son is in college and or if we retire. And then the pandemic changed everything. My job went remote. My husband's job went remote. And then I ultimately opened my own coaching business for women writers and left university teaching. And all of a sudden, this world opened up and we turned to our son and we said, what if we bought a camper and we road tripped? You're basically homeschooling at this point. We are your teachers. So we're just going to go anywhere we want. And our son was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we started researching campers. And one of your YouTube videos popped up because it showed the inside. It wasn't the Airstream at that point. It was one of the previous ones before that. And you were doing a tour of the inside of your camper. And I was like, oh, this is a really interesting family. Oh, they're raising their kids on the road, 3 kids, and they have a dog. And oh my God, like, how are they doing this? And I was like, I need to know more about this family. So we started watching you and your family. And like I said, ever since we have been following, but I will have you know that inspired us to ultimately get an Airstream. We sold our house in 2021. We sold a lot of our things. We went on the road for 3 months straight and we had the adventure of our lives. 3 people, 2 dogs and a betta fish in 27 feet of camper.
And a betta fish. I love it. It's like the exclamation point on top. It's so perfect. Oh, it's so perfect.
So yes, you and Mark are to thank for that.
Oh my goodness. Well, those memories only grow in time. You know, it's like the fish story, right? You catch a fish that's 6 inches, and by the time you're done telling the story over the years, it's 20 inches long.
Yeah.
And it's true. Those memories will grow in exponential value for you and your entire family. And the cool thing is to see the ripple effect that it has in other aspects of your life. Because one thing about RVing and travel in general, that is not the same as a vacation, which is wonderful in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But travel and RV travel, there's a lot of independence that comes with it. There's a lot of self-reliance. There's a lot of relying on each other. There's a lot of figuring things out. You have to have a figure out mindset, not a blaming mindset. Because there will be speed bumps, figuratively and literally. And you're like, okay, these are our tools. What are we going to do?
Exactly. And that's what I loved is that you and Mark have been showing through your videos every Sunday that there's always something. There's always a hiccup, but we're going to keep going. So for our listeners who have not followed you every single Sunday for 5.5 years. Maybe you could backtrack and take us back to like pre on the road when you were, I think at that point, living in Arizona. What sparked this whole adventure?
Well, I had a podcast and it was Keep Your Daydream. And we, I interviewed, but Mark edited, and same as today, just in a different way.
Yeah.
And I interviewed over 100 people that all lived outside the box. And it started with a trip to Lake Powell. We were talking with one of our friends and he was telling us about the speaker that would pick a new country every year. And they had a list of qualifications because they had needs and he needed to travel and she needed certain things for health concerns. And if it met those needs, they would stay there for a year. And I was like, you're joking me. Now we have to remember, we have to go back in time. There was no like Instagram. There might've been a few blogs, but there wasn't any roadmap for this kind of life.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, like, my world was so locked in, which was wonderful. It gave me everything I needed. Target down the street. I had family members close by. I had a really great school system. Like, everything was fine. There wasn't this huge, like, angst, like, it wasn't good. It's just, I am a very curious person by nature. And I'm like, I need to know more.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. And Mark's like, well, I'll edit it. And then boom, we went to town and we just ran.
Yeah.
And we found out so much. And that's one thing. Be curious. Ask questions. That's what I'm saying. When there's a community that wants to support each other and share the ups and downs of what they've done so that other people can hit the ground running, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So for us, we realized right around episode like 60, we were like, the only reason we're not doing something, if we wanted to, remember, this isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
If we wanted to do this, we just needed to make a decision because we hadn't set a time frame. We hadn't set guidelines. We hadn't said, yes, we're going to do this. And when you say yes to one thing, you have to, by nature, say no to something else.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that you don't get bonuses from both sides. It just means I'm going to put my attention over here. And to do that, you really have to say, this is my time frame, and then set a date. And that date is probably the most scary thing, because that's when you're going to stop doing what you know and start doing something that you have no idea how to do.
Oh my gosh. And so you all decided, three kids, a dog, leave your home.
Yes.
And go on the road. Like, what was the original plan?
Well, there were lots of renditions, because back to the podcast, I learned so much talking to people. And I think, like, in episode 3, I interviewed a couple that bought a motor yacht that went around the world. And he said, I had to realize that just because my dream wasn't perfect didn't mean that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He said, so I knew what I wanted to do. So then I started moving in that direction, and I was okay with imperfect. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. But that's generally what he said. And he joined a yacht club, and he came home and he said, we've joined da 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 da. And she's like, we don't own a boat.
One small problem.
Just one tiny little thing. And he's like, yeah, but one day we will. And so I think that that's really cool in the idea that if you're going to do something, you kind of need to saturate yourself in that realm so that you kind of understand it, even though you're not part of it or doing it. And that helps a lot with, well, can I, should I, da, 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 all the questions that could go through your lizard brain, which is your old brain that keeps you safe.
Yeah.
And it bring you forward to what you can do. So he joined the yacht club, which I just thought was fascinating and hilarious all at the same time. Think about the imposter syndrome there, right? Like, give me a break.
They're like, where's your boat?
Yes. He's like, I have a blow up one. So anyway, for us, we were like, well, what does it look like for us to do something a little different? Because we knew we wanted to add a layer to our life, and we knew we only had 18 summers. So the concept is, we only have 18 summers with our kids. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, some kids go off and have jobs and huge sports careers at 16. And so your summers might look different pretty quick. Or maybe they stay in town and you have the joy of having them close by forever. Yeah. But the truth is, they're really only in your house for 18 summers. So you got to maximize. And we knew we only had 2 summers left with our daughter.
Ugh.
And we were like, we better hustle up, Buttercup, or we're like, it's the window will close. And we, again, there was nothing wrong with what we had. We just knew inside we wanted to do something really fun as a family. So we thought, well, we could sail. We thought for a little while we were going to move to Barcelona for a year. Then there was an attack on the main street. And we were like, you know, maybe we don't need to be going so different. What could we do here right now with exactly what we have? And that is where we came into the whole start small, start now. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you have? What can you do right now? We're like, well, we have an F-150 and we could get a rig. And so then Mark called one of our friends and he said, hey, do you still have your rig? And he said, no, I sold it. And he goes, you only had it for a little while. He's like, well, I needed something else. And he goes, oh, well, how much money did you lose? And he goes, I didn't lose any money. And Mark was like, wait a minute. Okay, so you bought a toy. Essentially, that's what an RV is, right? It's a toy.
Yeah.
For most people. And you were able to sell it and not like go underwater.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to buy it right. You got to take care of it. Da, 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 da. There's things. But we were like, okay, done. Then we started looking at RVs. And we're like, this is perfect. Because then we can set a timeline that is agreeable for everyone, like in our family, our extended family. So we said we're going to go on a 6-month trip. Mm-hmm. And we were able to talk to our daughter about, like, because she was the most like involved in social aspects at school.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we come back at Christmas and you can be part of like the Christmas proms and dances and all that kind of stuff, would you be okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, totally. Ugh. So we went on our trip. We came back. She was able to be part of her school stuff. It was just fantastic. And then we kept going. And every, you know, Victoria was like, yeah, I could keep going. And she was able to connect with her friends. We were able to connect with our friends, but we were still like, we want more.
Wow.
And then at that time, our YouTube audience was really engaged. And it was so wonderful because we were starting to have this extended, what we call our road family.
Yeah.
And they were talking to us and telling us, oh, I like this. Tell me more about that. I've always wanted to go here. And, you know, the best thing is listening to the people that gather around you.
Yeah.
Because they're there for a reason. They want something. They are enjoying something that you are providing. And you may not see it because you're only doing you. But they're having an experience too.
Yeah.
So we asked, well, snow or Mexico? Where should we go? And it was overwhelming Mexico. So boom, we went to Mexico. And it was fantastic. It was insanely fantastic.
Yeah.
We went with a group. The whole season's really fun to watch. But Mark says, you know, be careful. It's shaky cam footage. You know, it's like, it was the beginning of our YouTube world. And, but it really gave us some of the most lasting memories. And I can tell you from those experiences, our daughter called us. She went off to school. And after that, and she called us and she said, oh, I got a flat tire. And the crazy thing about that is she called us after. She changed her tire because she learned it on the road. And Caleb, just the other day, he was going to an internship opportunity and he had to wake up at 3 a.m. and he had to go drive 2 hours away to be there on time. And he got a flat tire in the dark in Virginia. It's freezing cold. He's like, I pulled my spare out. I changed my tire. I'm back on the road and I'm still on time. So like, wow. Seriously, this is just the tiniest little bit of things that they learned along the way. But like, yes. I said, it's that self-reliance when you travel versus vacation that feeds your family in dividends later.
It's so true. It's so true. Because as we were making the decision, like, what should we do? And, you know, how big do we make this plan once we got our rig? Of course, my initial concern was, oh, how is it going to affect our boy? You know, and we got lucky that we almost lucky in a way in that we started during the pandemic. So things were already kind of strange anyways for people. And so like the social bubble that he used to have before then, that was already kind of interfered with. So spending a bunch of time with mom and dad, he was already doing that. So he's like, might as well go to cool places. But we did wonder how it would impact him, life on the road. And when we were done with our long trip and he went back into like regular schooling, his teacher said to us, Gio has an amazing sense of geography. And I was like, that's because he's been to half the states in real time.
You know? Yes, absolutely. Isn't that a win? Doesn't that make you feel so good?
Yeah, it made me feel so good. And his prized possession was, we said, okay, it was also such a lesson in minimalism because we're like, each person gets a duffel bag. And then we said, Gio, you get basically a Tupperware or what, a Rubbermaid rather, container of toys. And so we said, and we're going to go to a lot of places. So you can't really get like a souvenir from each place. But what we did agree upon was we got a huge poster board and we said, you could get one sticker from every single place. His Johnstone family road trip poster now hangs in his room. It is his most prized possession. It has a sticker from all the different places. And like, what a great thing for a kid, right?
Yes. I love that you thought of that. It's not just here in the rig, but when we go home. Because sometimes we do stuff and then we have to get rid of it and then there's another pain point. Instead, it's like, oh, I get to remember this in my room. I get to take it with me. So good on you. That's great.
Yes. Well, you and Mark and the family have inspired so many people because of the words that you just spoke, which I like repeat in my brain at least weekly, which is start small, start now. And I even think of this with the writers that I coach. It's like, you don't need to have an MFA in creative writing. You don't need to have any kind of big chops, just like write for 10 minutes today, right? And yes. So you all repeating that over and over again has been so inspiring. But we've seen you on YouTube every week live that over and over again. So we've seen you go to all the state parks. We've seen you travel in other countries. We've seen you personally go to Le Cordon Bleu for 6 weeks, like making bread and pastries. And every time I watch, I just go, wow, they are not only naming their dreams, saying them out loud, but they're actually doing something about them. They're making it happen. And so that's what I'm so curious about. How do you and Mark and the kids like daydream? What does that actually look like? And then how do you make sure to actually implement it?
That is tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because we all have things that we have to do for real life. We have to make sure that we're, you know, putting our financial needs in order. We're making sure that if you have kids, that you're putting their education needs in order. There's lots of things to do. But the best thing is that we live in today's world where we can do so much of that online.
Yeah.
We can do so much of that as long as we make a concerted effort to check those boxes. Maybe in the first thing in the morning when we have the most energy. And then we can go and do things that we want to do for our overarching goal. And what we say in our family is, what is your life resume? And that didn't come from us. That came from Jesse Itzler. But what is your life resume? You know, we can't just be flat. Like, okay, so what? You graduated high school. Like, great. But like, who are you? Who are you? Because these gifts and talents that you have inside of you, no one else has. And so when we're trying to be like the surroundings that we're in, sometimes we can forget that we are special and unique. And when you put yourself in a situation where you don't know how to do it, you don't know what you're doing, you're probably going to stub your toe, you end up relying on yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really neat when you make a decision and you make a choice and you say, this is what I'm doing. No matter what the outcome is, you're learning.
Yeah.
So really, if we can reshape what failure is to not trying, that's failure. Failure is not trying and making a mistake. That's learning. So as long as we take a minute to figure out, hey, whoa, maybe that didn't go so well. Maybe we could do better next time. As long as you take a minute and you don't lose those lessons, but you build on them, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And you can take that anywhere in your life and you can use that skill set. So just as long as our family is taking on little by little, poco y poco, the next thing that makes them tick, that's going to be fantastic because we're not going to be flat anymore. We're going to have this depth. And when we start to grow our talents, then we can take on more and more and more because we get stronger at relying on ourselves. It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
So we work out. We have cardiovascular health. We have muscular health. Okay. Yeah. Well, how about decision health? How about the possibility that we can now be strong enough to take on something that we could have never imagined before because we didn't know how. But now, because we did so many other things and we've learned how to learn, we can say, that's really no big deal. It might be hard, but it's really not that big a deal.
I love the decision health and this idea of the life resume, because I do see that every time anyone is able to accomplish something, then it gives more confidence to try the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So do you all like sit down on a regular basis and go, okay, what's the next dream? Or like, because I always laugh every time we're watching KYD on YouTube, like, look at them. They've got another surprise up their sleeve and now they're opening up a cafe, you know? And I'm like, when and how does this happen? Do they sit down and like retreat and plan it out? What does that look like for you and Mark?
Well, okay. So there's a couple things. First, we do sit down, but we sit down all the time.
Yeah.
It's not one time. So we sit down all the time and we say, okay, where are we? We do a little check-in. What's going well? What are we wasting time on? Because that's a big one. So like start eliminating things that we're wasting time on. And in the beginning, that would be very hard if people haven't done that before, because you'll be emotionally invested in things that aren't serving you. And that's a whole nother bag that you'll have to get into later, because that's something different. Yeah. But then there's also like the Summer to Remember list.
Yeah.
That's not just a little list. What that really is putting yourself out there to connect, to go and try something new. And then these are like little jumping off points to do something different. So like, say you've always wanted to go fishing. Well, then you're going to learn. You're probably going to talk to somebody. You're probably going to watch some new videos. You're probably going to bring some people into your life. You're going to have picnics. You're going to start bringing joy, creativity, learning. So having something like the Summer Remember List, which is what we do every summer with our family and with our entire community. And I can't even tell you the awesome stories that have come from that. Mm-hmm. This is not like I'm going to have a glow in the dark party and yay for me. It's something happens that you can't explain that's exponential when you decide this is what these 3 months are going to look like and how I'm going to connect with my family in a creative way.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Then there's overarching goals. And how do we like bring those down into achievable goals over the next like quarter or whatever? So for us, we're just always asking ourselves, what's next? We're not okay. So here's it's very hard to break this down, actually. But Mark and I are not very balanced people. Like everybody talks about balance. Uh-huh. And I think, okay, well, if you look at real, like the world, there's nothing about like our life that's balanced.
Yeah.
And I understand we all need a variety of things. We need to make sure that we get enough sleep, that we get, do all the things that are important. But if you're really going to take something on, like our daughter and son-in-law just had a baby, guess what? There's zero balance. Okay. Uh-huh. You're going to be up all night. You're going to be learning something new. It's going to be hard. It's going to be absolutely out of this world fantastic, but there's no balance to it. You're going to go on an RV trip around the United States. You've never RV'd before and you're hitching it up to a rig. Zero balance. Mm-hmm. Like hopefully so your true. Truck and trailer have balance, but your life is not going to be balanced. So I think it's okay to be uncomfortable and then just know that you're going to be on some steep learning curve. It will be for a set amount of time. And then you're going to get to a place where you can go, okay, let's take a breath.
Mm.
But it's okay to be unbalanced. And this is just my opinion, because I know there's a lot of differing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be unbalanced in order to achieve something new, because you're not going to get something new by doing what you've done before.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. I think about things like when you did the program at Le Cordon Bleu and then putting out both of your cookbooks, and it's like, oh, okay, here's yet another new thing that you're plotting out to do, right? So I really wanted to ask you about this, because our 3 months on the road, of course, we had taken many little weekend trips and stuff, but those 3 months were like 3 months solid. And I was still trying to work remotely. So I'm trying to have coaching sessions with writers, and I'm teaching creative writing workshops online. And every single time I'm kicking Jamie and Gio out of the rig, I'm like, shh, dogs, like, shh, you know, and I'm just going, oh my God, it felt a little maddening. And of course, it was only like we were brand new, we had to get our groove and everything else. But when each time you've put out a cookbook, I'm like, how on earth is she writing a book and testing recipes and putting out these beautiful books? We have Taste of the States that just came out, right?
Yes.
And then we have Small Space, Big Taste. So it's like, how on earth are you writing in the midst of we're here one day, we're going to another place. How did that work?
Well, let's use this and speak directly into your community, because although it seems like that is crazy sauce, we're out and about, we're traveling, we're doing all these things. Well, probably many of your listeners are doing about a bazillion things too, right? They're going to soccer practices. They're trying to balance work, a relationship, like whatever it is. They're trying to grow in their careers. They're trying to write a book, whether it's on the side or as their primary focus. So really it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah.
So it's figuring out what is the overarching goal, breaking it into smaller sections, and then what can I do one piece at a time? Because what we've learned is that creativity and stress cannot coexist.
No.
They cannot. So if you want to be creative, there has to be a defined time and space. And that seems a little like different than what creativity should be. Like, shouldn't it just pop in? Shouldn't it be like a lightning bolt and I should just be it's just like magic? It's not.
No.
Sometimes things come through you and man, you hope you have a piece of paper or your notes app open on your phone so you can just get it down.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's saying, this is what I do on Tuesdays, or this is what I do for the first hour of the day, and really capitalizing on your energy. So we all have 24 hours, but those 24 hours are not created equal. We all have a time during the day or the week where we have the most energy. And that's what Mark and I are always trying to capitalize on, is when do we have the most energy? Because that's when we can be the most creative. For us, it's at like from 5 to 8 in the morning.
Yep.
We get so much done.
Same.
So, and then the sun starts rising, and then we start talking about what are everybody else's needs?
Yeah.
What does everybody else need from us? But that's our time. Yeah. So I say the person that's really looking to do something spectacular, because it is spectacular. When you write a book, when you create a dream and you go after it and you look back, because that's really only when you get to see it, because when you're in the middle of it, there's probably not a lot of balance.
Yeah.
And when you look back, you go, dang, I did that. Mm-hmm. And you're so proud. I mean, it might be fleeting, because then I get emails that are like, hey, there's a misspelling on this page. And you're like, you know, what are you going to do? You can't be perfect, but it was done. It was done and you did it and you can look back. So, you know, carving out what is that space and time, whether it's per week, per day, and where is my energy? And I just want to touch base on that energy piece. If you're ever like hitting a wall and you're like, I swear there's nothing left in me. I could never have another great idea. Or maybe you're trying to tackle like your second book.
Yes.
You're like, I had a first success. What's my second success going to be? Remember, creativity and stress do not coexist.
Uh-huh.
So with that said, I've carved out my time. I know where my energy is. The only thing that you can do is commit to the things that give you energy. For me, I have to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have my sleep. I have to exercise.
Yes.
And this is not exercise so that, you know, oh my gosh, you look so good. No, this is energy that you're getting because you are regenerating your cells. I mean, I don't want to get, I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but you can look into it. You are regenerating your organs like every 30, 90, 60, whatever. Your whole body is new.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
That means that what you are putting in your body, you are rebuilding your cells from the inside out.
Yeah.
The only way you can do that is by putting good food in, getting sleep, and exercising. That's the only way you can do it. So if you check in with those three things, you're immediately ahead of the pack. So then you have the energy. And then also, you know, for everybody, it's different. For me, I really enjoy little joys, like finding a cafe, like finding the perfect croissant. I like, I'm not even a croissant like diehard, but like the perfect little dessert. And you're like, you know how much time it took. I mean, most of these desserts take 3 days.
Oh my God.
So someone in the back has been working on this little thing on your plate for 3 days. That is like, I'm like, are you even kidding me? I want to hug this person. Where are they? I need to see them. So finding little joys. And if that is in like, you know, having something sweet or indulgent once in a while, or going to a special place. And if you have any kind of spiritual aspect in your life, lean into it. Lean into it hard. because mm-hmm. it will give back to you like you wouldn't even expect. Mm-hmm. And you're different all the time. Like we just said, our cells are regenerating. Your mind is regenerating with new ideas. You've become really good at making decisions. You've become good at carving out creative space. So now you're putting things in your mind and you're ready to capitalize on them. Mm. Oh my gosh. You are going to be like unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, and especially for you, because you took on a huge project. You were highlighting a dish for all 50 states. Mm-hmm. And so it's no small cookbook you were trying out here.
Oh, and by the way, these are people's hometowns. You do not want to get this wrong, okay? You do not want to get this wrong. So, but what are you going to do? You're going to get something wrong, but at least you're going to try.
Well, that's right. So tell us how the impetus of that idea came to be and what you set out to do for Taste of the States.
Well, I had another cookbook in mind, and I'm still going to write that one.
Yeah.
But then we were finished with all 50 states, and I was like, well, I can't just let this moment go by without like talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to do a dish for each of the 50 states because we really do communicate through food.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. obvious. I mean, mm-hmm. And the cool part about the United States is that we have food from everywhere.
Yeah.
When you go and visit other countries, like if you go to Italy, you're eating Italian food. If right. you go to France, you're eating French food. Now, France is a little bit different because you're eating French-inspired food with all kinds of people coming in. And then that's the base and then they build on it. But mm-hmm. one of the fun things that I learned in the class, because I was in class with about 15 to 20 people somewhere around there, all from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there were only two people from the United States. And they were like, you guys are so lucky because you have everything.
Mm.
And when you think about that for a second, you're like, oh, wow, I guess I take a lot of that for granted. You yeah. have everything? We do? Yeah, because where I'm from, you only get what we have.
Yeah.
And that's what we've had for thousands of years. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like if you're from Korea, you're getting Korean food. And so that's what we were talking about specifically. We were talking about Korean barbecue. And I said, oh, I love Korean barbecue. And then she was like, yeah, because you're from the United States and you've actually been able to taste it for real. Because uh-huh. you have people from Korea making Korean barbecue in the United States. We yeah. don't have Americans coming over here making us whatever your specialty is. So I thought that was like so cool. So when you go around the United States, if you are in a new town, taste whatever's there. Because it's yeah. coming from someone else, wherever they came from.
Right.
And that's the coolest thing to me.
Yes. And do you have, I mean, I know it's like asking about favorite children, but do you have a few dishes that you feel really, really proud of from the book?
Okay. Well, first off, I was born in Arizona, raised in California most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I went to high school in Rhode Island. Mm. Beautiful.
But I didn't know that. My husband yes. went to Johnson and Wales for cooking, for culinary
okay,
school.
Yes. Yeah, yes, okay. That's a big deal. That's a big
yeah.
deal.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome. Yeah. So Mexico, the Southwest, like I love. I mean, uh-huh. just like give me salsa, like all
yeah.
day long.
Yeah, yes.
Guac,
yes.
chips, burritos, yes. love it all. Mm-hmm. So that's where I lean into. So I love that kind of food. But what I'm really like, if I were to say proud of, is tackling something that I was not good at,
yeah.
which is baking.
Mm.
Not good. Okay. Because cooking, you get to do everything as it's happening. Baking is all about thinking in advance.
Yeah.
That is not my specialty. I like to just like jump off a cliff. I'm like, we're going to do something new. Let's go. You know, yes. we're going to make this dish. Let's see what we can add to it. But baking everything, your results are because of what you did previously.
Yes.
So that is like really cool. So I really like the cinnamon rolls and things like that in the cookbook. But in South Carolina, I'll post that on our website, trishaleach.com, for mm-hmm. people to go look and get the sweet roll recipe, the pulled pork, the slaw. There's a spice blend that they can make on their own. So anyway, but it's really fun. Then you can make little pulled pork sliders.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
When I was watching that you applied for, you know, this multi-week program in France at Le Cordon Bleu, I sat there and I felt, and this is a good thing, I felt like proud jealousy. I was like, look at her. She is just like, I'm going to be a student again. And whenever I sense like good jealousy, like I see someone doing something and I feel like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be a student again. When I watched you go through that whole cooking program, it inspired me. And in January of 2025, I announced to my community that I was going to scale back a little on podcasting and a little bit on coaching. And I was going to do a semi-sabbatical and I was going to study new things. And so as a direct result of watching you be a student again, I was like, what do I want to be a student in? I took ecstatic dance classes where you're just like moving your emotions through your body and like dancing anyway. And it's so beautiful. I went on a 5-day silent meditation retreat, like no electronics, no talking the whole 5 days.
Wow.
And did all of these super fun things because I realized I love being a student.
Yes.
I love learning new things. And I could see that you felt that same way.
Yes. Yes, I am so in love with the fact that you did that, because then you had this whole new like base that you can share from, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And when I came back to, I have a community of women writers, as I said, that I teach, it's called Write Well. And when I came back to the Write Well community, I was like, I am so full of ideas. I've just painted and danced and meditated. And I mean, we're going to do lots of fun stuff
yes.
when we meet together every Monday to write. Like, I'm going to infuse all of this stuff in there. And I can see by watching you guys that like, all the previous experiences that you've had are all blended now into the future you're creating, because even something like the Daydream Depot and Cafe that's being opened in Michigan in the future, I was like, look at that. I wonder if this was the result of the evolution of all the cooking and the baking and the. So tell us about this cafe.
Yes. Well, okay. So there's a couple things at play here. First, you know, we all have seasons. Like we said, we had 2 summers left with our daughter, and that really was an impetus, like a pushing force for us, because we were like, we got to go.
Yeah.
We're going to miss our window.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we went. We've seen all 50 states. We've been to New Zealand, Canada, Mexico, Italy, France. I mean, like, whatever. This is so cool.
Right.
But now we have a new grandbaby and we want to make sure that we are available.
Yeah.
So we have to like start shifting. And I was like, but I don't want to stop doing. I don't want to stop creating. I don't want to stop hosting an environment where people get excited.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I love creating a moment where people can either sit down with their family and watch something they know that they can trust. Like, when you turn on KYD, you know anybody can be in the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
our son pops in all the time. Like KYD is totally in his vocabulary.
Thank you. Yes. And then, you know, we've done KYD 55 for 55 days of health and wellness with 5 pillars. And people send us pictures and they're on their bed with their kids and they're reading because
yeah.
that's one of the pillars.
Yeah.
And so it's just like so great. So how do we keep doing that? How do we balance being like available for our grown kids that aren't in the household, but we still want to be part of their lives? And how do we create an environment for people, this community that we've spent a long time together? We don't want to just be like, okay, we'll see ya. Thanks so much. No.
Yeah.
We want to have another space, another platform to say hi.
Yeah.
So, and even if it's not physically there, because we're not going to be there 24/7, but if it's there through spirit and through good food and through gifts and things like that. So that's where that came into play. And we always want to push ourselves. So that's what's happening. So we have 5 acres out in Michigan, and we're working with the township right now to get all of our permits and things like that. It will be open in spring of 27. So we have a runway. And that way we can travel at a certain cadence.
Yes.
And we can be available at a certain cadence, because that's what's important to us.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Right now we live in Florida and we go back to the Midwest every summer and we go to Door County, Wisconsin. We both love Wisconsin and Michigan are the best places to be in the summer. I will argue with anyone about this.
Yes.
And it's just stunning. And so I know exactly why you're drawn to Michigan in the summertime. And so what we do, because we miss my family in the Midwest, and so every summer we go back for the summer and we spend time there. And it is this balancing of, okay, how do we give everyone in the family everything that they need and love? Like, now that our son is back in a typical school year, all right, how do we give stability to him during the school year, but then get to go and be around our family that we love in the summertime and escape the Florida heat and humidity summer. You know this now that you have a place in Florida. And so now you're creating something where you get to have a brick and mortar that exudes your soul and your spirit and everything you love about food. And then you get to spend time with your new grandbaby.
I know.
That's really beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Mm. Oh my gosh. It's so great. Yeah. Even this morning, because she's only 48 hours old. So we went back to our rig and we were hanging out doing our morning routine, which is to get all of our work done and figure out what's next and all of that. And then like at 7 o'clock, I'm dressed. I'm like ready to go. And I'm like, okay, I want to go hold the baby now. And Mark's like, oh my gosh. Because he's like, he can see his productivity just like, it just crashed. It's like in a ball of flames. Like he's like, I'm not going to get you ever again. Like this is my new norm. So now I need to figure this out. So anyway, it's fabulous.
Yes. And so what are your hopes for, you know, how to be in their sphere? What do you hope the future looks like?
Well, we never know how it's all going to go. But what we have chatted about as a family, which we're very fortunate that our family is used to having like constant dialogue about, what are we up to? Where are you going to be? How are we going to be together? How can we be part of each other's lives? What can we help you work on? Because we have three different personalities, three different kids.
Yeah.
And then they have their, Victoria has her spouse and now her baby.
Yeah.
Our other son just
got engaged.
Yes. And then our other son is finishing college a year early. So he'll be out in the workforce here soon. He wants to create something that we're very excited to help him with. So anyway, like how do we do that? We're using Michigan as our base camp and everybody is like, we're on board.
Wow.
We're going to come to Michigan. We're going to hang out, whether they're going to work at the depot, like, you know, part-time, whatever, because they have way different careers than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they'll step foot in there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the evenings and some time off during the week together. And then that way we can use our RV to go and visit everyone wherever they're going to be.
Wow.
I would love it if everybody was in Florida, so then we could just go there and then we could go up to Michigan, but everybody's going to have to choose their life and we will fold into it.
Yeah.
And I think that that is important for people that are going into different stages because you have to recreate who you are. I mean, you're always you, but you are always learning new skill sets because you have to show up as a different person for different things. So let me explain. You are a mom and you show up as a mom and you're feeding and feeding and feeding. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need?
Oh, and like physically just feeding and feeding.
Physically feeding and feeding and feeding. Like I remember our kids like ate nothing. And then one day everybody woke up and it was like, I could not keep food in the house. I'm like, what happened? You guys are like savages. I mean, just raw, just eating everything. I'm like, I can't even keep up.
With a 12-year-old boy, I understand this. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then all of a sudden everybody goes off to college and I'm buying all this food. And Mark's like, I think you're going to need to scale back. So anyway, but now everyone has gone on to their next step.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have a really strong relationship with everyone. So we get to be part of that.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun, but you have to show up in a different way. You're different now.
Yes.
So I think taking a moment to celebrate what was and what is about to be, like, for any moms out there that are about to like have all their kids go off to school, to college, you need to plan a vacation with your husband or your partner because you have to redefine what this new thing, what is happening.
Yes.
Like you've done something successful.
Yes.
You've just checked a box. It's not over because they're going to call and you're going to have some like fires to put out and help and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Yeah.
And so how do you learn how to show up different? Whether it's like, oh, well, I'm going to be like kind of like their pen pal, or I'm going to show up and make sure that I make dinner once a week or however it is for you. But it's going to be different. And just acknowledging that, I think, is half the battle and not having to go through so much pain because it is different and it is challenging. And you're like, this was my family. Mm. And your family is going to look different. But I promise you, if you let go and let them do what you have planted seeds for, it is so beautiful and fun to watch that you're going to be blown away by what they're able to accomplish. Mm. So, but knowing that you have to be different and constantly change, with that said, we are watching our kids start their lives. And it's really for us to fold into what they need and to let them know we're here, we're available, but we're also like creating and doing because we're not just like sitting around.
Right. No.
And I don't think we ever will.
No, no. I can't imagine.
No.
Well, it is so true because when I remember when Caleb was like in the rig and for listeners, he was the last to go off into the world, the youngest. And if I was like, I'm sure the whole like KYD community is like so sad when you all were sending him off to school. I was like, I am sad too. Like Caleb is such a joy to have on screen. And then
a million times.
And then I was like, what is empty nest life going to look like? And then all of a sudden, you all are traveling to Italy with friends. You're taking these courses. I was like, I think they're okay. I think they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fine. And remembering that too, like we went to Italy like intentionally because I knew. And that sounds so highfalutin. We went to Italy. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, you can have a drink for $4. Yes. Let's just put it in perspective. Yes. It's actually, once you get there, it's really affordable as far as vacations are concerned. Yeah. But we went there with intention to do something different that we would have never had the ability to do because we weren't doing that with a whole family of five. It looks different with the way your attention span, first of all, because if I had brought my boys, my daughter would have been totally game. Mm. But my boys, to the things we did, they would be like, kill me now. Uh-huh. Why are you doing this to me? You're torturing me. And I would have been paying for them to feel that
way.
Yes. So you can do different things. But really, it was a stamp to say, this has ended and this has begun.
Yes.
And it's not a death. It's a birth.
Yes.
It's like this whole new realm.
Yes.
Yeah. And my husband, Mark, is pumped. He's like, yes, this is fabulous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just remember there's going to be joys, even though your heart might be hurting. Plan something that puts a stamp that celebrates what you've done and what you're about to go do. You're about to go have a whole new life with the person you chose to create this family with.
Yeah. You're like, so, oh, I remember you. Oh, hello.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Mm. Well, I think that listeners will feel exactly how we feel every Sunday, which is inspired. Every time we watch you and your family, I come away feeling like, you know what? I am going to take that imperfect action. I am going to start small and start now. I am going to do something with intention. So please know that you all have inspired so many people and we're so, so grateful for it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to be here today, asking so many great questions. You're a wonderful interviewer. I loved being here. And I just hope your community just embraces you every episode because it's just a fabulous community that you've created. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, my friends, I told you you would be inspired. If you want to know more about this incredible family and about Trish, you can head on over to her website, trishaleach.com, where you can purchase her cookbooks and you can take a look at her line of spice blends. You can follow Keep Your Daydream on YouTube. You can see all the videos from past seasons. If you have not discovered them yet, get ready. You can just binge watch for days and days on end. I'll put all the links in the show notes so you can follow Trish. And if you're interested in that micro memoir class, I hope you'll join us. Check out the link in the show notes. You can find out more information at NadineKennyJohnstone.com. Big thanks to my dear producer, Michelle Rado, who's also been on a multi-year adventure with me, putting out this podcast and making it the best that it can be. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story and every story has a heart. See you next time.